My name's Christina Badham. I am Shichangu Lakota and Cherokee. I've always been a really big fan of X-Men, and actually one of the first comic books I ever read was ElfQuest. That kind of really got me into the whole comic book world, and started making one with my friend when I was about 14, and then we kind of dropped that one because it was a lot of work, and then it just kind of sparked a fire where I just kind of started working towards finally doing a comic book, and then Cowie came out. So,
talk about Cowie.
Cowie is a Polynesian-inspired Beauty and the Beast, and I actually just talked to somebody, and the actual correct pronunciation of the language is Katwi, and I will be using that from now on, but I know for a lot of my readers, they can't necessarily pronounce it. It's kind of a story about growing from the point of being selfish to being a part of your community and really realizing that everything you do affects others, and the importance behind traditions and the importance behind the meaning of your culture.
Talk about the effect comics for you growing up and why you wanted to move into that space.
For me, comics were a really big deal. Actually, what made me love Wolverine, Wolverine's my favorite superhero, and what made me love him was actually he was fighting Unchegula, which is a Lakota monster in our mythology. It's she's the black snake. Supposedly, her bones are actually what make up the Badlands. And so it was just cool to see Wolverine fighting something from my culture. And that actually kind of was like, oh, this is speaking to me. This is awesome. So I started reading Wolverine, and then I fell in love with him even more because he spoke Japanese, and that was one of the languages I grew up kind of speaking. And then he spoke Lakota, and, like, that's my language. And then he also was always resilient. Like, nothing could ever really get Wolverine down. And to me, that was a really big lesson in sovereignty, specifically for, like, my culture and specifically for the things that Native people go through. And still to be able to come out on top and have this amazingly bright and, like, humorous culture that we have. It's, like, awesome to see. And I really took Wolverine as a really big metaphor for that. So it got me into the whole world, and I became a Marvel fangirl with X-Men and everything. And a lot of the issues that X-Men kind of touched on in their comics really kind of spoke to me, and I would say to a lot of people, and like minorities and a lot of people who are lesbian and transgender and things like that, X-Men just really speaks and drives it home.
And yet you were on a panel about women in comics, and you guys talked about the sexualization of women in mainstream comics. So talk a little bit about what you see.
Well, in comic books in general, women are always sexualized, and it's very difficult because women are beautiful and, like, sexual creatures, but it's that fine line where you have men writing women and kind of their fantasy of what a woman should be, and that's how you get characters like Rainmaker, where she's actually a strong character, but she's always on the floor. She's always half naked, and it's, like, what that actually speaks to is it causes a lot of issues, because then you have all these kids coming up who are either expecting to be treated in that way or to treat someone in that way. So you have all these young Native women who are dealing with statistics of rape and molestation and missing and murdered Indigenous women, and in our pop culture we see that, and it makes it okay. It makes it like that's the norm. And the sexualization of women in comics is, like, it's a fine line. There's ways to make a character that is strong and, like, confident about her sexuality but not sexualized. And it's kind of that you have to really do your research to find out how you can approach that.
So how do you fight against that? I mean, do you sort of speak out about that, or are you just trying to create alternative narratives and alternative characters?
I do alternative narratives and characters, and actually my fiance often draws redesigns of characters. And that's actually one of the reasons I love him, is he always draws, when he does women, he'll redesign their outfits. And the way he approaches every woman character is he thinks of it like he has two beautiful daughters, and he looks at them like, this is my daughter. Like, would I want her wearing this? Or would I want her being out there fighting? Would she really fight crime in a thong? Like, is that really how you would function? So I love the way he redesigns his characters. And then for me, it's just a matter of telling stories and kind of focusing on my own flame. And that's something that I've always learned growing up from, like, my father and some people, is don't look at what everyone else is doing, because that's going to get you caught up. you're going to get stuck because you're always going to be trying to correct or change somebody to be the way you want them to be. And everybody's their own person. You're never going to be able to make everybody be the way you want them to be. So all you can really do is focus on yourself and focus on your drive, like what you want to accomplish, and put all your energy towards that. And then those stories and other people will start following suit.
So the theme I've picked up a lot is comics and games as a way to get at some of these really tough issues in Indian country. Why do you think these are effective ways to get at those and talk about them?
I think they're very effective because it's a wide reach of how you can get comic books. Like, you know, the first comic I picked up, I was actually visiting my cousins in Rosebud, and it was at a gas station. And, you know, they don't always have access to internet or always have access to TVs. So it's really a good way to get to people because you can read a comic book anywhere. You don't need to connect to Wi-Fi. You don't need to go on social media. Like, you can actually just bring the book with you and read it anywhere. And so you can really reach all these wide spans of people by doing the comic book. And then everybody gets drawn in by art. Like, that's just kind of a human unconscious. If it's an image, we're going to look at it. And so with those images, that image really drives home the story. So it's not like you're just talking or telling somebody, or like you're writing a bunch of words that they're going to have to take the time to actually read. They actually can see the images and they hear the words with them. And actually with our company, one of our comrades, she does Bully's Bully. It's a comic book all about bullying. There are no words in it. It's an entire comic book that is all silent comic. And personally, I actually struggled with dyslexia growing up, and I still have it a little bit, obviously. I actually didn't learn how to read until I was nine or 10. And so most of the comic books I was looking at, I was formulating the story by what the images were, what the sequential image was. And the fact that I still got the point of the story was something that's amazing to me. And that's one of the reasons I love silent comics, is because for kids that are struggling with that reading, they can still get that story. They can still understand what's going on.